It was an old building in one of the South Side's older neighborhoods, still sound, but badly in need of tuck pointing and perhaps a new roof. The sanctuary was dark, with several pews that had cracked and splintered. The reddish carpet gave off a musty, damp odor, and at various points the floorboards beneath bucked and dipped like welts in a meadow. Reverend Phillip's office had this same chipped, worn quality, lit only by an antique desk lamp that cast the room in a dull amber glow. And Reverend Phillips himself, he was old. With the window shades drawn, surrounded by stacks of dusty old books, he seemed now to be receding into the wall, as still as a portrait, only his snow-white hair clearly visible, his voice sonorous and disembodied, like the voice of a dream. We had been talking for close to an hour, mostly about the church. Not his church so much as the church, the historically black church, the church as an institution, the church as an idea. He was an erudite man, and began our conversation with a history of slave religion, telling me about the Africans who, newly landed on hostile shores, had sat circled around a fire, mixing newfound myths with ancient rhythms, their songs becoming a vessel for those most radical of ideas, survival and freedom and hope. The Reverend went on to recall the Southern Church of his own youth, a small, whitewashed wooden place, he said, built with sweat and pennies saved from sharecropping, where on bright, hot Sunday mornings, all the quiet terror and open wounds of the week drained away in tears and shouts of gratitude, the clapping, waving, fanning hands reddening the embers of those same stubborn ideas, survival and freedom and hope. He discussed Martin Luther King's visit to Chicago and the jealousy he had witnessed among some of King's fellow ministers, their fears of being usurped, and the emergence of the Muslims, whose anger Reverend Phillips understood. It was his own anger, he said, an anger that he didn't expect he would ever entirely escape, but that, through prayer, he had learned to control, and that he had tried not to pass down to his children. Now he was explaining the history of churches in Chicago. There were thousands of them, and it seemed as if he knew them all, the tiny storefronts and the large stone edifices, the high yellow congregations that sat stiff as cadets as they sang from their stern hymnals, and the charismatics who shook as their bodies expelled God's unintelligible tongue. Most of the larger churches in Chicago had been a blend of these two forms, Reverend Phillips explained, an example of segregation's hidden blessings, the way it forced the lawyer and the doctor to live and worship right next to the maid and the laborer. Like a great pumping heart, the church had circulated goods, information, values, and ideas back and forth and back again between rich and poor, learned and unlearned, sinner and saved.